hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you have taught us to keep all your commandments by loving you and our neighbor. Grant us the grace of your Holy Spirit that we may be devoted to you with our whole heart and united to one another with pure affection. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. On this 4th of July weekend, we pray for our nation. Lord God Almighty, in whose name the founders of this country won liberty for themselves and for us, and lit the torch of freedom for nations then unborn, grant that we and all the people of this land may have grace to maintain our liberties in righteousness and peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Ezekiel. The Lord said to me, O mortal, stand up on your feet, and I will speak to you. And when he spoke to me, a spirit entered into me and set me on my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. He said to me, Mortal, I am sending you to the people of Israel, to a nation of rebels who have rebelled against me. They and their ancestors have transgressed against me to this very day. The descendants are impotent and stubborn. I am sending you to them, and you shall say to them, Thus says the Lord God, whether they hear or refuse to hear, because they are a rebellious house, they shall know that there has been a prophet among them. The word of the Lord.
Do you have to know?
A reading from the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians. I know a person in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that such a person, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows, was caught up into paradise and heard things that are not to be told, that no mortal is permitted to repeat. On behalf of such a one, I will boast. But on my own behalf, I will not boast, except for my weaknesses. But if I wish to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think better of me than what is seen in me or heard from me, even considering the exceptional character of the revelations. Therefore, to keep me from being too elated, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from being too elated. 3 times I appealed to the Lord about this, that it would leave me, but he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for the power is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Mark.
Glory to
Jesus came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not all his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor, except in their hometown and among their own kin and in their own house." And he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went about among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. In this morning's gospel, we hear of Jesus sending out the 12 to carry out his ministry of preaching and healing. He gave them his authority and then sent them out. This, I believe, is the first account of the church carrying out Christ's commission. And you and I sometimes overlook the truth that Christ commissioned the church to do his work. You and I are part and parcel of an apostolic church. That is, we go back to the 12 chosen by Christ. He is our cornerstone. And you and I continually need to pray that we will be joined together in unity of spirit by the teachings of the apostles. The General Convention of the Episcopal Church just finished meeting in Salt Lake City. East Tennessee is represented by four clergy, four laity, and one bishop. Last week on Saturday, they elected the Right Reverend Michael Curry, Bishop of North Carolina, as our new presiding bishop. And we rejoice in his election, and we pray for him as he seeks to lead our church. I've met Bishop Curry on a number of occasions, and it was my personal hope that he was the one who would be elected. So I personally am delighted. If you've not met him, you perhaps will have a chance to do so, if not in person, by video. He's a remarkable preacher, let me tell you. I've got to tell you one personal story. Several years ago, when I was interim rector of a large parish in Norfolk, the Consortium of Endowed Parishes met in Alexandria, Virginia, at Old Christ Church, where George Washington worshiped. And Michael was our guest preacher. And if you've ever been in that church, there's a long, tall pulpit, colonial style. And Michael wasn't a bishop then. He was just a priest. Michael climbed up in that, and I was sitting on the front row right in front of him. And he's an African-American, and I accuse him of being a Black Baptist Episcopalian. And he started preaching, and the Spirit took hold, and he was really rocking. And so did the pulpit. That old pulpit started moving. And I really got concerned. And afterwards, I said, "Michael, I thought you were going to tear the pulpit down." He said, So did I. I just pray that you'll have the opportunity to in some way, appreciate the man who's been elected our presiding bishop. The convention meeting in Salt Lake City has been wrestling with many, many issues that confront us as a church. One landmark decision occurred just this past Wednesday on July the 1st, when the canons regarding marriage was changed to provide marriage equality for all Episcopalians. This canonical change eliminates language defining marriage between a man and a woman and authorizing two new marriage rites with language allowing them to be used by same-sex or opposite-sex couples. Bishop Young, our bishop, voted in favor of these resolutions, and the East Tennessee deputation voted unanimously in favor of them. And I'm sure that our bishop will provide opportunities for all of us to discuss and more fully understand these decisions. So, given all that has happened, and in light of Jesus commissioning his disciples to proclaim the gospel and to heal the distressed, this morning I want you and me to consider our calling as a church. I want us to focus on church. Brothers and sisters, we are called to be church. As the slogan in our newsletter puts it, church is not where we go. Church is who we are. But let's be honest about it. Don't we usually think of church as place? I know I got up this morning and said, "I'm going to church." Do we really think of church as us? Now, immediately after this sermon, we're going to be asked to stand and say the Nicene Creed. And after we say we believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, we say we believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. So we're saying that we believe in the universal church. And each part of that universal church does things slightly differently, may stress different things as being more important than others. You know what I'm talking about. Most of us weren't brought up in the Episcopal Church. And if you want to prove that, all you have to do is look at the hymn requests that are made during the summer. Most of those hymns reflect a much more evangelical approach to Christianity than is our norm. And that is not bad, don't get me wrong. That is the reality, that we come from different places, both in music and in theology. But at some time in our lives, we made a conscious decision that this is the part of the universal church that we want to call home. That truth was impressed upon me recently when I read of a young woman who grew up in Dayton, Tennessee. Her name is Rachel Held Evans. Her father worked at Bryan College, and she graduated from that evangelical fundamentalistic school. You may have read her best-selling book, A Year of Biblical Womanhood. It made the bestseller list a couple of years ago. Her first book was entitled Evolving in Monkey Town, How a Girl Who Knew All the Answers Learned to Ask the Questions. Isn't that a great title? She deals with changing from a black and white faith to one with a bit more gray. Her latest book is entitled Searching for Sunday, loving, leaving, and finding the church. She now worships at St. Luke's Episcopal Church in Cleveland. And I think most of us can identify somewhat with her. In the Episcopal Church, the point of worship is to honestly express our desire to worship God the best possible way with all of our senses. Scripture, tradition, and reason are the basis for authority in our church, not just Scripture, and certainly not a literal interpretation of Holy Writ. We see the Creed as a springboard for conversation. We are a church that is a place for thought, where we can ask questions. Here at St. Thaddeus, we are engaged in a time of prayer and discernment about our life together. The vestry began this at its retreat in January, and we continue in that endeavor. In effect, we are beginning the process of redefining who we are and who we are called to be in this 21st century. We're no longer the young neighborhood church with young adults and young children. But let me tell you, that's the image that some of us still carry in the back of our minds. While we really know the truth of our situation, we are older. We have no children in attendance. We have fewer and fewer people who are members. And so part and parcel of our process of redefining who we are is to ask the question, how do we minister? How do we serve? Not just those who come here to worship, but those neighbors of ours who will probably never become members, but who can benefit from our ministry. Some time ago, I gave the vestry an article entitled 15 Things the Church Needs to Do in 2015, written by Evan Dolev, an ordained minister in the Christian Church, the Disciples of Christ. I've begun printing those for you in the newsletter. We've printed 10 of them, and the other 5 will be in a future Pews News. Here are the ones I consider most important. Love the people. The church needs to strip away the cold exterior and welcome people, all people with the loving arms of God. We need to love people for who they are, not for who we want them to be. And let me tell you, I think that you and I in this parish do that well. Another one that I need to pay a lot of attention to, stop the bodies in the pews game. There's more to being a ministry of God than painstakingly counting bodies in the pews. This does not mean people who are missing are unimportant. It means the church needs to stop defining itself by numbers physically in attendance. What if we worried about how many lives we have touched instead of the number of people that come on Sunday mornings? Increase giving. Watch what happens when a little is given in faith. Decrease complaining, enough said. Don't give up on the church. People from all walks of life have been shunned or have been run out of a congregation for differing beliefs or theological styles. As the body of Christ, we need to remember that the church is made up of imperfect people who are trying to do the will of God. While we might not like the direction the church is heading, we cannot give up on it. God has never given up on us. Let us not give up on God. For me, that's pretty good advice. I'm trying to take it to heart, and I hope you will too. There's a wonderful prayer we pray every Good Friday. In it, the church is called that wonderful and sacred mystery. That wonderful and sacred mystery. And so it is. That prayer is found on page 280 of the prayer book. And I'm going to ask you now to turn to that page and pray that prayer with me. That's page 280. Let us pray. O God of unchangeable power and eternal light, look favorably on your whole church, that wonderful and sacred mystery. By the effectual working of your providence, carry out in tranquility the plan of salvation. Let the whole world see and know that things which were cast down are being raised up, and things which had grown old are being made new, and that all things are being brought to their perfection by him through whom all things were made, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Please join me in sharing our faith by saying the Nicene Creed found on page 358 in the Book of Common Prayer. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. Please stand. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
I'm not used to sitting through all this. Peace be with you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Several announcements to which I would call your attention. First and foremost, I hope that he can stand and be seen. Our newest addition to St. Thaddeus' staff, our new parish organist, Andy Gruen. We are just delighted to have him as part of us officially on staff. And you all have heard his musical talent. And I was just delighted that he was available to succeed Anne in that ministry. A sad note, as you heard the prayers of the people, Father John Janeway, one-time rector of this parish, departed this life yesterday at Sewanee at his home. John was rector of this parish, I believe, in the 60s, when there were lots of kids and lots of folks, and it was just a golden era for this parish. John and I were seminary classmates, And he indeed will be missed. And I hope that you'll keep Linda and Jennifer in your prayers. This being the first Sunday, I would remind you that the loose offering is designated for the rector's discretionary fund, and that blood pressure checks will be available in the Wellness Center. Are there other announcements to be made? If not, ascribe unto the Lord the honor due his name, bring offerings, and come into his courts. Be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
God of all power, ruler of the universe, you are worthy of glory and praise.
Glory to you forever.
At your command, all things came to be. The vast expanse of interstellar space, galaxies, suns, the planets in their courses, and this fragile earth, our island home.
By your will, they were created, and they should be.
From the primal elements, you brought forth the human race and blessed us with memory, reason, and skill. You made us the rulers of creation, but we turned against you and betrayed your trust, and we turned against one another.
Have mercy.
Again and again, you called us to return. Through prophets and sages, you revealed your righteous law. And in the fullness of time, you sent your only Son, born of a woman, to fulfill your law, to open for us the way of freedom and peace.
By his blood, he reconciled us. By his wounds, we are healed.
And therefore, we praise you, joining with the heavenly chorus, with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with all those in every generation who have looked to you in hope to proclaim with them your glory in their unending hymn. And so, Father, we who have been redeemed by him and made a new people by water and the Spirit, now bring before you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord. On the night he was betrayed, he took bread, said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his friends and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering now his work of redemption and offering to you this sacrifice of thanksgiving, we celebrate his death and resurrection as we await the day of his coming. Lord God of our fathers and mothers, God of Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Rebekah, Jacob, Leah, and Rachel, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, open our eyes to see your hand at work in the world about us. Deliver us from the presumption of coming to this table for solace only and not for strength, for pardon only and not for renewal. Let the grace of this holy communion make us one body, one spirit in Christ, that we may worthily serve the world in his name. Risen Lord, be known to us in the breaking of the bread. Accept these prayers and praises, Father, through Jesus Christ, our great high priest, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit, your church gives honor, glory, and worship from generation to generation.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Alleluia. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia.
Thank you.
the gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you. Feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen. My friends, remember that life is short, and we have too little time to gladden the hearts of those who travel the way with us. So be quick to be kind. Make haste to love. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Amen. Let us go forth in the name of Christ. Alleluia, alleluia.